Mark chapter number 8. And we'll get right into the reading here in verse 27. And Jesus went out, and his disciples, into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. Amen. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. You know, right there tells us a lot about what Satan wants to give to people, and who his character. He doesn't savor the things of God, but the things that be of men. But what I want to look at this evening is where Jesus said, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Thou art the Christ. In one place, it's in three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In all three places, the saying, Thou art the Christ, is there. One place, it says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. I believe that's Matthew. But the point, Thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the prophesied one, the one that is called the anointed one, the Messiah, God in the flesh, the one that would come, the Lamb of God, the one that the whole of the Old Testament speaks of. Amen. Thou art the Christ. Amen. Well, I tell you, if they believe, really believe that, that ought to drive a lot of doubts away. Because if he's the Christ, he can do anything then. There's nothing too hard for him. I mean, we're walking with God if he's the Christ. Amen. Amen. We are interacting with our Creator. Amen. All things were made by Him. And without Him was there not anything made. You or me or anything else. Made, amen. In Him is life. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ.
Amen.
The Son of the living God.
Yeah.
I begin to just look at this here. The first thing that I want us to just see just a couple of things. If you back up just a little bit, you know, He had been dealing with them. And the people, and I mean just many that He had been dealing with. He had warned His disciples about the leaven or leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That religion, you know, just religion, just hypocritical, hateful, condemnation religion. Amen? And He warned them of that. And He warned them about the leaven of Herod. You know, there's a lot in that I don't want to get into. But a part of that, I mean, Herod, he was supposed to be king. Well, there's not but one king. That's the King of Kings. And, you know, all power, you know, given to Him, though all power is given to our Lord and Savior. They didn't understand Him. And so what I'm looking at, I mean, He's asking Him, whom do men say that I am? Do you understand who I am? Do they understand who I am? Because, see, they are having a problem understanding what God's Word is. In verse 17, when Jesus had knew it, that the disciples, they said, you know, he said what He did because we ain't got no bread. They wasn't understanding His power. And they wasn't understanding what He was teaching them and preaching to them about the leaven of Herod and the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they're thinking about a loaf of bread. No, that's not what He was talking about at all. He said in verse 17, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread?" I mean, don't you understand? I'm not even talking about bread that you eat. And then look what He said. Here's the first thing that caused them not to understand. Perceive ye not. In other words, their reasoning was messed up. They weren't reasoning right. And I mean, that implies doubt. Unbelief and no trust. He said, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not? There's the reasoning. Perceive ye not? Neither understand their lack of perception is why they didn't understand what was going on. Their lack of perception. You know why a lot of people don't know who Jesus is? Their lack of perception of Him. They want to see Him in one certain way. They think He's this way when really He's this way. I mean, He's altogether different than the majority of man thinks that He is. I've said this here before, and the reason I say it is because it's one of the main things most of us will hear in our lifetime. They look at Him and say, you know, my God wouldn't send nobody to hell. He loves everybody too much. Well, see, they don't see Him right. They don't see Him in His holiness. In His justice and in His judgment. I mean, listen, hell is there. Hell is there. And hell is real, and people are going there. But, I mean, he is the Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because there is a hell because he's the Savior.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? There's not, he's not a Savior because there's a hell. There's a hell because he's the Savior. The Savior of the world, a man that has fallen. I mean, he does not perceive. He is ignorant. They do not have interest. He said, look at this, perceive ye not, yet neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? So he says, neither understand. They're ignorant. They're understanding. They don't understand the way they should. That, I mean, and somebody that's ignorant, listen, it's because they have a lack of interest. I mean, if people really wanted to know him, they'd get interested in finding out who he is. What do you think that eunuch was doing on that buggy down there in the desert reading Isaiah 53? His interest had peaked up. I want to find out who this man is. And he wasn't going to be ignorant. He went to the source, the Word of God, to find out who this man was.
Amen.
They say he's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the Son of God. Then I need to look in his Word, find out what his Word says about him, so I can know him.
Amen.
So that I can understand.
Yes.
So that I'm not ignorant. His interest, he began to study. And also, he said to them, have ye your heart yet hardened? People harden their heart is why they don't see him the way he is. They don't know him. Whom do men say that I am? You got people that their reasoning is wrong, is why they don't know him right. Their lack of perception, their ignorance, their hardness of heart. Many of them didn't want to know him. I mean, Jesus stood right there and told Herod, Pilate, and many others, told them who he was. And they would ask him again, are you not going to say anything for yourself? Who are you? I've told you. They don't want to know. And that's, listen, if somebody wants to know him, listen, he already wants to know them. And he does know them on the, as far as the God scale, he knows who's who. Are you listening? But he wants to know them personally as a child, as a father does his child. But they don't want to know him that way. So they harden their heart. And also he said, look what he said. Having eyes, ye see ye not? In other words, you've got dull eyes.
Yeah.
They willingly refuse to see the truth. They don't want to see the truth. And he said, having ears, hear ye not? I mean, they willingly have dulled their ears. They've put their fingers on their ears. They've heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears and turned away their ears from the truth. You remember when Stephen was preaching? You know what the Bible said? They stopped up their ears. They didn't want to hear. Why? It was convicting. It was pricking their heart who he was. There they had crucified the Lord of glory. Stephen was telling them how to be saved. Amen. Stephen was giving them the word. He was preaching the gospel. And they ran upon him. They stopped up their ears. Having ears, they hear not. He said, you hear not? And do ye not remember even their minds? They willfully forget. They want to forget about Calvary. They want to forget that he came. That's what they wanted to do to the early church. They said, look, before long, this will all be forgotten. Other men have come, and it's all forgotten. And this ain't going to be any different. Well, it's not been forgotten. But yet people tend to forget. They want to forget. They come right in here. They hear the word. And listen, I've thought about this. I mean, and how they can leave. Dull. Dull. Numb. They've dulled their mind. Dulled their eyes. Their ears. Their heart. Having their hearts hardened. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron, what the Bible said. I mean, it's no wonder that people can come in the house of God and hear the Word of God and the saints of God sing and pray. Are you listening? And be unmoved about the Lord. I'll tell you what, church, if we are saved, we should definitely be the ones that are never to the place where we're unmoved. We are to wear the altar out every chance we get. God's people should. I'm convinced the more we use the altar, the more we might see a sinner use the altar. Amen? I mean, we need to wear it out. Come around God's throne is off. I mean, God, help us not to. What did Jesus say? Their love would wax cold in the last days. I mean, that's something dulling in the heart, don't you think? Something getting caked over. Caked over, gommed up, amen? It's the way some of them old times used to say, things are getting gommed up inside. It ain't working right. God help us. And so that's why, I mean, Jesus is talking to them about this and saying, don't you perceive not and neither understand. Have you, yeah, harden your heart. Having eyes, see ye not. Having ears, hear ye not. And do ye not remember when I break the five loaves among 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments took you up? Do you not remember what I've done in the past? How I moved in great power. God can do it again. Move in great power again. Amen. And so, listen, there was no excuse that the disciples to be in the shape with the people. Because he said, when he's asking them about the baskets, he said, do you remember how many baskets full of fragments took you? They said to him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, he's talking to his disciples, how is it that ye do not understand? I mean, they shouldn't have been in faith Beginner's faith, 101 with the rest of that crowd. Doubting, dull, eyes shut, ears stopped. They shouldn't have been in that class. But they were. And Jesus, he cometh to Bethsaida. When he came to them, now listen, the Lord had already cursed this city. So, you know, he's not going to do another miracle in it. He had done all the miracle he was going to do in them. But he when he came to Bethsaida, they bring him a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him and he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. See, the Lord had to get that man plumb out of that town. Why? Because they had already shut their eyes, shut their ears, shut their heart. So the Lord, being the God that He is, He didn't refuse this man. He walked him out of town. He didn't keep him in town where there was no faith. Zero. Zero faith. I mean, none. No faith to do anything to believe that our Lord could do this. He walks him out of town. He put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Why? Well, they wouldn't rejoice in it. They probably wouldn't even believe it. Why would they? They couldn't believe the very Son of God's words, and him was standing there talking, telling them. So, they've got a problem here. They've got a problem of not understanding who He is, not seeing who He is. And Jesus went out, and His disciples, into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, He asked His disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others, one of the prophets. And He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answereth and saith unto Him, thou art the Christ. And He charged them that they should tell no man of Him. Now, there's some things I see in this. First, He asked them. He asked them. Our Lord is asking His disciples, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, which means He listened to them. He ask them this question, then He's listening. I mean, He's intently listening to what they're saying. Amen. He responded to them with a question. When they said, John the Baptist, and some say Elias, or one of the prophets, He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? See how He responded to them with a question. Thou art the Christ. And He charged them. He commanded them. He asked them, he listened to them, he responded to them, and then he charged them. In verse 30, that they should tell no man of him. They thought, he's the prophesied forerunner, John the Baptist, or one of the prophets. I think it is in Luke. They said, one of the old prophets has risen from the dead. He said, some say you're the forerunner, some say you're a foreteller. And he began to teach them in verse 31. You see that? He began to teach them. That the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Now, if you're listening, everything is going to be victorious. He's the Christ. It's going to happen just the way it was said in the Old Testament. He's going to die for the sins of the people. But he told us the Christ, that 3 days after he dies, he'll rise again. Well, therein is the gospel. And Peter didn't hear a word of it. Some of the greatest things that our Lord tries to teach us, we're not listening. We're not listening. We should be listening. Is it our ears? Is it our eyes? Is it our heart? What's causing us not to hear? I mean, you'd have thought that he'd have heard every bit of that. He spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. The one that he just now said, thou art the Christ. You're rebuking the anointed one? Really, Peter? I mean, Peter is out of his mind. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, you talk about a man that has lost reasoning. To say that in one breath and then rebuke him in another breath. Anybody ever do that? Bless him in one breath and doubt him in another. No, that's not going to happen that way. And that's what we say to the Lord. No, Lord, it's not going to happen this way. It's going to happen just exactly the way the Lord says it's going to happen. In my life, in your life, amen, it did in his life. And we can kick and rebuke all, but listen, it's going to happen the way he says it's going to happen. And if we just go with what he has said and trust him, it's going to be victorious. Because, I mean, he's talking about them bringing him down to the doors of death and beyond. But the third day, I'm going to rise again. I mean, you talk about the Christ able to do exceeding abundantly above. Amen. soul. They had seen the multiplied thousands fed, healed, delivered. People that were sick, healed from every kind of disease, those possessed from every kind of curse. I'm glad that Peter, when he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" I'm glad that Peter said what he did. "Thou art the Christ." Instead of, you know, "Are you the one?" No, it was a solid statement of faith. A solid statement of faith. An unwavering. And this is Peter. Aaron, in just a second, he's going to rebuke the Lord and say, "Oh, no, 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 no. It's not going to happen." Well, see, that's why Peter did what he did down the road. Denied him three times. Where was the man that said, "Thou art the Christ"? He was warming by the fire of the world. He was watching afar off. He was cursing and denying that he even knew the man. The man. Here, that side of him has come out, and he's not even confessing him as Christ anymore. He said, "I don't know that man." So, when we look at this, when I look at this, it really helps me to look hard at myself.
Yes.
And to make sure that my reasoning, my perception, that my interest, it's, you know, like a husband that loses interest in a wife, or a wife that loses interest in a husband, or a kid that loses interest in a, you know, a game or something. I mean, they just completely lose all interest. We don't need to lose interest, our interest in Him. We begin to lose our interest in Him. He doesn't revive me the way one time did. Doesn't stir me. His Word doesn't stir me like it used to. Well, that's something wrong with me. It's nothing wrong with Him.
Amen.
I mean, there's still joy unspeakable to be found. Peace that passes all understanding to be experienced. A fullness of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This Christ, are you listening, that we know that He is our faith.
Amen.
The Bible says we have joy in believing.
Amen.
See, the more we start not seeing Him in the head, we do, maybe. "Oh, no, I'm convinced. You can't convince me." You keep going. You keep going on that trail. You'll be like Peter. "I don't know the man." We can't lose interest in Him. Lose heart. Get a heart of rebellion. You know, a willful blindness. a willful forgetfulness. Willful. Not just, you know, we did it because I wanted to do it. I didn't want to do things the way that I had always done with church and with God. Amen. Willful turning. I mean, it's those, if any man sin willfully. The Bible talks about sinning willfully. Whew. Sins of omission, sins of commission. But I want to live in that part of verse 29, that when everybody else is wondering who he is, I know thou art the Christ.
Amen.
Stirs my soul.
Amen.
Excites me.
Amen.
Amen. Moves me.
Amen.
My cup runneth over, as David said. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, my cup runneth over.
Amen.
David felt like he could run and leap over a brick wall. Amen. Strength. He was full. It's exactly what Jesus said. There'd be rivers of living water springing up into everlasting life. Whew. How good he is. How good walking with him can be.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, we have to take a good hard look at ourselves and see that lack of perception, not only not seeing him the way we should, we don't see ourselves the way we should.
That's right.
I don't want to see if there's anything wrong here. Anything that I need to do here. You know, I've done this for a long time. I have too. Or you may be one that I've not been in this very long. You need something that only he can give.
Amen.
Every one of us that are saved, we need something from him.
Amen.
And only him.
Right. Amen.
That closeness of fellowship.
Right.
That relationship. That right. Being at his feet.
Right.
And like Martha, just and Mary, weeping at his feet.
Right.
Like the little woman that was sick with the issue, just getting right down at his feet and just grabbing the hem. Blind Bartimaeus, like that man in the temple that just reached up and grabbed the apostle's hand. Just one touch of somebody even connected to the Master. Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. All right, I want you to stand.